Welcome to Stories and Stanza, the podcast that delves into past, explores the world of prose and poetry, and brings you real-life stories, creativity, motivation, and poetry. Join us every week as we take you on a journey through the human experience, sharing inspiring stories and conversations that will lift your spirit and leave you feeling motivated and inspired. Whether you're a lover of literature, a writer, or simply someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza is the podcast for you. So sit back, relax, and let us take you on a journey of discovery, reflection, and inspiration. Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of Stories and Stanza. The motivation for creating this podcast was to give a voice to my poetry and share stories and inspirations behind them. I've also had guests joining me and sharing their stories as well. Last week I met Natasha, a fantastic writer from Canada, and we had an interesting discussion. Feel free to check the previous episode if you haven't already done so. History has always been an area of interest for me because of the novels I grew up with. Today, the story I'll share involves a lesser known past and a beautiful poem that touched my heart. I've always felt that poetry is not isolated. It's a cultural footprint of time. Today, I'll share a story and a poem that will give you a reason to believe why. Have you listened to the episode that I created about the history of feral rabbits in Australia? Rabbits may look adorable, but the knowledge of Australia's history teaches us some important lessons about the ecosystem. This one relates to a very similar circumstance. I've been thinking about how to start this episode, where to begin, and this is what I could come up with. So, a few years ago, when I was relatively new in Melbourne, one particular piece of news made the headlines, especially making my friends from India very curious. I'm trying to remember the exact year, but this was about the culling of feral camels in thousands. Anyone I spoke to over phone would ask me, why did you kill the poor animals? Was there no other alternative? I didn't know much about it back then, except that feral camels destroyed property, vegetation, livestock, etc. And this discussion subsided with time and I almost forgot about it. So a couple of days ago, I was passing by the State Library Victoria. It's in Melbourne, just outside the Melbourne Central Station on Swanston Street, where a photography exhibition was going on. The display of images caught my interest. There were works of a photographer named Malik Sidibe, capturing the early days of Mali's independence in 1960s. So I went into the library and there was a remarkable display of historical artifacts from the Jewish community. And I've never been a history student myself, but anything related to history always makes me spirited and curious. So I started walking in the library when a particular section caught my attention. There were some photos and writing on the Australian outback. There were camels in the desert. And there was a poem dedicated to the overlooked history of Australia's first cameliers or camel handlers. When the early settlers struggled to build the infrastructure such as roads and telegraph lines, etc., horses were unsuitable for such an arid climate. They realized that camels might be more useful than horses in such situation, and In the 1860s, the first camelliers were brought to Australia using the intercolonial network of British India. They were broadly termed as Afghans, but they came from a variety of places such as Baloch, Sindh, Punjab and Pashtun, which can be seen as today's Pakistan, Afghanistan and some part of the northwest of India as well. These people were instrumental in creating the infrastructure and carrying goods to remote areas for nearly next 100 years. Now, what happened to them? So, from what I read, the discriminatory policies of Australia made it difficult for the Afghans to settle here with their families. So, some of them eventually went back, and in some cases, like, they left and they couldn't come back. And others formed a surprising bond with Aboriginal people of Australia who were not very well accepted into the society back then. So both communities were close to nature, and through their journey they formed a unique friendship. So some of the Afghans, they married Aboriginal people and stayed on. With the arrival of motorized vehicles in the early 20th century, the camels were gradually replaced. Their handlers released many camels into the wild, and this feral population has thrived ever since. Today, Australia has the world's largest population of feral camels, estimated to be over 1 million. These camels can have a significant impact on the environment, competing with native animals for food and water and damaging vegetation. Their population also doubles every decade if not controlled. There are efforts to use them for milk, meat and other products, but that's not enough to control the camel population. So sometimes to protect people and properties, the feral camels are killed. As I said in the beginning, the story of the camels is very similar to that of the rabbits. Today, I'll share a poem, "Our Footprints Remain" by Ilyas Alavi, and it was translated into English by Timothy Johannesson, and it's a beautiful reflection of time, of when the camelliers arrived in Australia and how they formed this relationship with the Aboriginal people and what was their life like. From Ghazni to Karachi, from Kabul to Calcutta, from Zabul to Azad Kashmir, we came here to this distant land on great ships, and we set off with our camels, whom we knew by name. We carried railway sleepers from Adelaide to Port Augusta. We travelled for 3 months from Murray to Tennant Creek, carrying cables for telegraphs, and we brought back gold from Altunga mines. We travelled from Bark to Cloncurry, carrying cotton. At sunset, we opened up to the Wheelie Wagtail, so it would carry our messages to our loved ones, and it listened and sung its heavenly song. And we became friends with the First Nation peoples. Since our outlooks were similar, our contentedness, our loneliness, and our pride were similar. They taught us the real name of their country. Whenever we were lost, they gave us directions. When we were sick, they gave us bush medicine. And they showed us springs, and we drank from the same spring. We sat by the fire and played rabab, and cooked chapati and curry, and we were beholden to each other. A strange love arose between us, so that we became one and we built a home away from home. In the quiet plains of this country, you can still hear the sounds of our voices and our camels bells ringing, and beside each spring, still our footprints remain. And when the willywagtail sings, he carries our messages with him. As I said, I really love this poem, and as someone who traveled a lot from the home he grew up in, this poem will always have a special place in my heart and will echo my emotions. I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and thank you for listening. So, see you in the next one.